We are now back in session. Councilman Gephardt, you had the floor before the break. Do you have any additional amendments that you would like to make at this time?
Sure. I'd like to propose reducing line 35111 by 6.25%. That's half of my last amendment. $276,996,000. That would reduce that line to $4,150,325. And that would be returned to the rainy day fund.
Okay, can you just give me the 276,996? Is that the correct amount?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the councilman, we need a second. So the councilman is proposing, second by Councilman Lattiser. Okay, any additional? I know it's a different amount, but same argument, I assume?
Same argument, and you know, assuming that there should be some relief by measures that have been taken over the course of the past year, it should be a achievable target. I've been doing budgeting and in the private sector for many years. I've literally never seen a department head come to me with a budget that didn't have some amount of fluff in it. You know, people try to make things that they think they can achieve, and I think we should set a target. So that is the proposed.
Thank you very much, Councilman. Are there any questions or comments? Again, this is a similar proposal that we just voted on. It's just a different dollar amount, so we don't need to hear the same arguments for and against that we already have. If you have additional comments, Councilman Ricks.
Yeah, just because I didn't chime in on the last amendment, I'll chime in now. So I do think that this is very reasonable. The 2023 projection in our books shows $4.4 million for this fiscal year. The proposed budget involves also $4.4 million for this coming fiscal year. We have all of these additional firefighters coming on. It's hard to imagine that there isn't going to be some savings of overtime somewhere there. And again, this is just a matter of more of transparency, setting goals than anything here, because of course, if firefighters put in the overtime, then they're going to get paid for the overtime. And we've seen these budgets for overtime. We've seen departments hit those goals. We've seen departments go way above, just completely blow right through those goals. And like so many items, I hate to say it, but I'll go ahead, I'll say it out loud. The numbers that we set in these budgets, in the budget here, it's a goal, it's a matter of transparency, but ultimately the numbers that are set here are not going to be the numbers that are actually going to be reached down to these very precise amounts, or sometimes even close to these numbers. The conditions and realities over the course of the coming year are going to be what dictate what the costs actually are. And so our rearranging money on paper right now is not going to have any effect whatsoever on the services provided. At least certainly not when it comes to items such as these. Obviously, there are some items that are of greater consequence where we can, here in these chambers, be making decisions, but we are not cutting people's, we are not cutting checks here in these chambers. We are not filling up gas tanks here in these chambers. So this is a matter of moving the money on paper. And I'll support that for the reasons that Councilman Gephardt outlined. Thank you.
Any other additional questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on Councilman Gephardt amendment to move $276,996 from line item 35111 to the rainy day account.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
3 yes, 6 no. Amendment fails.
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt? Okay. Any additional amendments that members of the council would like to make at this time? Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you. My first amendment would be regarding line item 35-111, Fire Department Overtime. I would make a motion to reduce that overtime line item by $2 million. Use $1 million of that reduction to increase senior citizens and veterans exemptions, and use the remaining $1 million for parks and fields that do not qualify for CDGB grants. And that's okay.
Do we have a second to that amendment? Second by Councilman Ricks. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll not belabor the issue. I stated my reasons regarding my position with the overtime in this particular department. Also, I stated earlier about the need to increase exemptions for the seniors and for the veterans, disabled veterans, and a list of exemptions that we have. Also, I stated that Councilman Ricks has a committee going, and his obstacle is if you give it, you have to get it from somewhere else. I think the overtime is something that must and needs to be reined in with all the additional staffing. I don't feel that we should still be dealing with a $4 million plus overtime. Ball fields, the sports areas in the city, we had some people testify to it Monday evening that they need to get improved. I've received emails that they need to get improved. I have Del Judas Park is one particular area in my ward, and we don't fall under that area, doesn't fall under those grants. So unfortunately, no money is available to be able to do that. So for those reasons, that's what prompts me to propose this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Sinapi.
Just a request for information from the administration. My understanding of the senior exemptions is that if you qualify for it and you apply, you get it. I wasn't under the understanding that if the pot runs out, we do not provide the exemption, but I could be wrong.
I do not know the details of exactly how the exemptions are given out, but I do want to say that my understanding of Councilman Lattiser's amendment is that what he is doing is reducing the tax rate in general to 103,100 and the revenue. So if he wants to take in $2 million less in tax revenue, that is changing your tax rate. That's how I would build that.
Councilman Lattiser.
So I'm not clear. First, let me speak to Councilman Sinapi's question. I have the list here of available personnel tax exemptions, and these exemptions, they're kind of like set. So you have the senior exemption is $415.20 for real estate. The veterans, $138. Veterans, 100% disabled. And it just goes on down the list, POW exemptions. These are the exemptions that I'm speaking to that have not been addressed in a good many years. And I understand that if you're going to increase those exemptions, that you have to have the money coming from somewheres. My point earlier on was that we always seem to find the money to do all of these other things. And for some reason, we can't seem to find the money to take care of, or I should say to assist our seniors, our veterans, POWs, Gold Star parents, et cetera, the circuit breaker program. And they have not seen increases in a good many years in their exemptions, but yet they're asked to foot the bill for all of these increases, from salary increases to benefit increases to overtime, where they either on a fixed income, in some cases very limited income. And I just think that's unfair. I'm not quite sure what Director Prodger's comment was about me drawing down revenue. I'm not drawing down revenue. What I'm doing is I'm reducing the overtime expense by $2 million. So I'm not sure if I misunderstood something there or not.
We're going to have the solicitor weigh in.
Councilman, the exemptions are not appearing as a line item, at least from my understanding, and they are subject to the ordinance as that follows state law on those valuation exemptions. So I'm not sure we can actually address this effort in the manner you're proposing.
So you're not sure, or we can't?
I don't believe we can. I think that the ordinances spell out the value of the exemption for specifically section 7431 speaks to exemptions for persons age 65 and older, and it authorizes an amount not exceeding 12,000 of valuation of the real property owned. These are spelled out in the ordinances, and some of them are prescriptive based on what the state law says as to the value of what you can and can't do. So for those reasons, I would suggest that this amendment is out of order.
So the sheet that I have here for the exemptions with the City of Warwick's letterhead, it stipulates all those dollar amount exemptions. So I'm not clear what you're speaking to when you say state.
A point of order?
We're going to have the solicitor and Councilman Lattiser have the floor.
These are Warwick exemptions, as I see by this document.
I'm not sure what document you're looking at. If I'm happy to review it, what I'm saying is the ordinances spell out the summary sheet that you have. These are, I presume, taken from both the ordinances that we have as well as what state law tells us to. Specifically, you have cross references here, for example, the value of what someone who is blind can receive, and that's under Rhode Island General Law 44.312. What I'm suggesting is your effort to increase these would not actually increase anything, because we have to follow what the ordinances and the general laws of the state tell us of what those values can be. So the appropriate way to address the issue you're trying to do would be to change the policy where we have that leeway to do so, and that would be by filing an ordinance, not offering an amendment to the budget.
A point of information relative to the motion.
Excuse me. Councilman, would you have any comment on that?
Yes. So, you know, obviously I'm going to have to yield to the solicitor's suggestion or advice, I should say. But we do have a line item with regards to parks and recs and the ball fields, et cetera, that I'm referring to, correct? So there's a couple of items, line items that it could fall under. One is field maintenance, et cetera. I know DPW takes care of some of that as well. What I'm referring to is not only the fields and the maintenance, I'm referring to the mulch, the benches, the swing sets, the slides, et cetera. In my ward, I believe the majority of it, if not all of it, does not fall under the requirements of CDGB grants. So we have not been able to get monies for that.
So I think what we should do is, if you're gonna, we need to amend, you need to pull back your first amendment and then start over with what you're looking for. Okay, and in keeping in mind, he's about to pull this, so we do not need a long classification.
Mr. President, I'll yield to the comments from Councilman Ricks.
All right, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. There's really a very simple solution here. So I understand what has been said by the city treasurer and by our city council solicitor, that if Councilman Lattiser were proposing to enact this amendment as to the exemption by reducing the property tax revenue in line 100-03100, then it would not accomplish its purpose. But I do not believe that that is what Councilman Lattiser is actually intending to do. Instead, I believe that the way that Councilman Lattiser's intent could be expressed through this, through his original amendment as proposed here, would instead be to lower the tax collection rate, because effectively we're not, effectively an exemption is similar to money that is ultimately not being collected. Now, obviously, there are some distinctions here where exemptions have to be recognized, they have to be applied for, but the proper way to express that effect most effectively, I believe, would be to recognize that the money is thing would otherwise be taxable but not coming in. It's a little bit different when it would be a matter of new exemptions versus old exemptions, because the tax collection rate normally, if it's an existing exemption, that amount is already really baked into the budget and expectations. But one more little comment. I did second this motion for purpose of discussion, because I believe that it's a conversation that we should be having about factoring in a need to increase some of these exemptions that haven't been touched in as long as anyone can seem to remember. I haven't been able to get a date as the last time the exemption amounts have actually been changed as to some of these various exemptions. But I think that the amount of $2 million from that line of 35111 is a bit beyond what I would be able to justify, unlike the earlier two amendments forwarded by Councilman Gebhardt. And it is a bit more than the amendment that I had also proposed. I think that close to cutting that line item in half, it's a little bit too far for me. And I do think that exemptions would be something generally better addressed through the process of the commission rather than something handled here as part of the budget hearings itself. So for those reasons, I would not intend to support this amendment at this time. Although I will say that Councilman Lattiser's goals of increasing funding for the fields and parks, and also the intent of increasing the ability and expressing an intent for the city to be able to increase some of these exemptions that simply have not been updated in ages, is laudable and commendable. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser, would you like to withdraw this?
Yes, Mr. President. My current motion for an opportunity to present a different motion. Do we need
so ordered.
Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Going back to 35-11, given the conversations, I would propose an amendment of reducing the overtime on the fire department by $1 million. And having that $1 million transferred or used, I should say, on the parks and recs for any of those locations that do not qualify for CDGB grants. And that would still be leaving over $3 million in overtime, in addition to the highest compliment of all, in addition to
$2 million
that was already in the overtime. Yeah. Oh, got it.
Let's get a second first. Second. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So we got the second.
Yep. So Councilman Lattice.
I don't need to repeat it all over again. Reduce that line item by $1 million. Currently, it still remains the highest overtime line item that we've seen. And in addition to that, there is a, by the chief's comments the other night, there's going to be a complement of 236 firefighters. And there is an additional $2 million in salaries in that line item as well. So, you know what? I don't see where you can have both. How can you have all of the additional staffing, an additional couple of million dollars in salaries, and still maintain the same overtime line item? It doesn't make sense. So it's time to get control on this, and also to provide a funding for areas that we've been unable to fund over the years.
Right. Councilman, we do need a line item to put it in specifically. So, and while you're looking for that, Councilman Sinapi.
So we've already had ample debate on removing OT from the fire department for various reasons. As such, I call the question.
Okay, I do think we need to have a particular line item to do the full
thing, correct? I'll have it for you in 1 minute.
Yep.
Mr. President, after discussion with legal counsel, there isn't a specific line item that we're able to find to deal with the field maintenance as well as related equipment, such as park benches, such as swing sets, and general equipment that you would find throughout the city and some other areas. So the suggestion is, to create a new line item, 45282, to include the purchase of maintenance materials, benches, gym set equipment, swings. I think that would cover it.
Okay, and Solicitor Walsh, I believe Councilman Sinapi had a, what's it called?
So I called the question, which if second it ends debate and forces a vote.
Do we have a second to Councilman Sinapi? Okay, yeah. Is there any additional questions or comments to avoid voting twice? If not, we'll call the roll. Yeah, okay.
So for clarification, you asked the first question to second Councilman Sinapi, or?
Well, if there's no if there's no additional questions, we don't need to second his amendment. We're going to take the vote right now. But if there are additional questions or more debate, then we will look for a second and then we will call the vote. So debate is ended if he gets a second, but we don't have to second it. If there's no more questions, we can just do the regular process.
With my colleagues, I'd just like to say, with all these recommendations, I'm going to stand by, and I have no intention on voting for any amendment that takes away from the fired overtime. I trust what Chief McMichael and Chief Obenhauer said. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, are there any additional questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, favorable action on the, a yes vote is for favorable action on the Lattiser amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
Three yes, six no, amendment fails.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. My next item is 89-000 school aid. I'm going to be making a suggested amendment to reduce the city aid's contribution to that. The reason being, as we've spoken already earlier this evening, that student population has declined dramatically over the years. Back in the late 70s or so, I believe the population was somewhere in the vicinity of around 22,000. It's declined consistently in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, and now we're down to 8,005 students, but yet the budget continues to grow every single year. State aid to the school department is up $3.2 million this year. Last year, the city council, I believe, gave them an additional $3 million.
Councilman, we got a member make the amendment second, then presentation. Sorry.
Sorry.
So what's the amendment, the dollar amount?
Okay, the amendment, it will be to reduce line 89-000 by $2 million.
Okay, do we have a second to that? Second by Councilman Ricks. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Sorry about
Councilman,
that.
Councilman, and put it in the rainy day fund?
Sorry?
And do what with the funding?
Yes, to reduce the drawdown account.
Thank you.
Or reduce the drawdown from the rainy day account. So in addition to the things I said, I have not seen any attempts or any successes at reduction or getting caps on salaries, on pensions, on healthcare costs. I haven't seen any attempt into reducing 90 sick days that the teachers have. And this is an issue I bring up at every budget hearing. The fact that there's 695 less students than what was told to us on Monday night, if you do the math on that by approximately $23,000 per student, that's a difference of almost $16 million. From what they thought they had with student population to what they actually have. In addition to this, there's still $58 million of bond money that can be drawn down on, somewhere in the vicinity of 58, which is obviously going to impact the taxpayers. There's still floating out there $350 million bond, which I think that's far from where it would end up if it did in fact happen, hanging out there. These costs, these increased in costs, again, are being borne by all of the taxpayers. It's not just the more affluent taxpayers. It's the taxpayers that struggle every day. It's the folks that I said a dozen times now since Monday that live on fixed income, and they don't have the luxury of these automatic increases. So with that said, that's my motion, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Councilman Ricks.
I'll just state that I do not support reducing the amount of funding to the schools from that proposed amount. However, I do think that as part of these budget hearings, it's important for us to have debate. I appreciate that Councilman Lattiser is intending to have debate. And so I will second his motions, even if I may not necessarily agree with them, because I don't want to be shutting down debate here at the budget hearing. That's all. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll on the Lattiser amendment to take $1 million from 89000 school aid and move into the rainy day fund.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
No.
One yes, eight no. Amendment fails.
Amendment fails. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. So my next amendment is to reduce line item 18-101, job code 390, and the reduction is $8,030. And the reason for this is in finance. The reason for this is several different reasons. One is it's far beyond the 2.75 that most other employees.
A point of order, do we have a second?
Sorry, second.
Second, Councilman Rex. Thank you.
And just a point of clarification. I'm sorry, Councilman Lattiser. What page? I just want to make sure I'm following.
It's in finance. It's line item 18-101.
Thank you. Sorry.
That's okay. So I think it was at the last budget hearing. Could be the one before. The finance department actually reduced the budget a tad by making a full-time position a part-time position. And the reason that was given was because they wanted to save money, which was fine. Monday night, during the hearing, I was questioning about this increase, and it was stated that we needed to increase that salary, which, by the way, is a 9% increase on the salary, because the finance director position in Warwick ranks 11 in the state. And we need to increase this ranking to 5 or perhaps 4, so that when this position becomes vacant, there'll be money there to entice a new person into this position. I can't agree with that, because you don't increase a salary because you want to have the ability to, in the future sometime, offer someone more money for the position. I think that's something that can be done at the direction of the administration. So with that said, the salary currently is $128,438. At a 2.75% increase, that increases it to $131,970, not $140,000. And for all the reasons I stated earlier about all the folks in this city who have got to get by day, paycheck to paycheck, no increases in their income structures, I am making the amendment to reduce this salary line item to fall in line with the other employees' contractual requirements, and reduce that line item by $8,030, and also use that to reduce the drawdown on the rainy day account.
Comments or questions from members of the council? Councilman Sinapi.
So the administration would know better than I on this, but I had assumed that the increase was also in part due to the director's performance and ongoing commitment, because it's not really a surprise to anyone that where we were prior to the mayor and Peter coming on versus where we are now are very different. Like, there's a reason we were able to go all those years without a tax increase. And it wasn't just because someone was playing hide the ball, because they weren't. Instead, they streamlined everything across the board, and in no small part, thanks to Peter. So I thought the increase was in part a reflection of that. It was Peter presenting it, so I didn't really expect him to get up there and brag about it. So I assumed that was why it wasn't outright stated, but I could be wrong.
Any questions or comments from members who haven't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Lasser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So with all due respect to Councilman Sinapi, I'm sure that the list is endless of the employees that we have in this city who go and beyond, above and beyond every day, that excel in their positions. I'm sure that we've had and continue to have many employees that accept the job with the city, given the salaries, given the benefits, the hours, the expectations, the requirements, et cetera. And they also have their bargaining groups, which negotiate these salary increases for them. And this is known to all employees going in to this job. And matter of fact, it's the same in many other entities. So while I don't disagree with the performance of the finance director, I feel that we have many of our employees who excel each and every day. But the fact of the matter is, the taxpayers can only bear so much of these increases. And to isolate it to only a certain few, I don't think is fair. Which brings me back to my original amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Foley. Are there any additional questions or comments on this amendment at this time?
I just had a quick thing, and then I would gladly second Councilman Foley's motion, although I saw Councilman Ricks's hand go up, so I don't want to silence him.
Well, do we have a second on the motion to call the previous question? Is there a second to that? Second by Councilman Howe. So we the debate has ended, and we will now call the vote.
The
the motion to move the previous question, which has been seconded by Councilman Howe, needs to be voted in order to end debate on this item. So there's, it would be a vote series of two votes. So yes, the first action is a motion to move the previous question, which would be a vote in favor would be ending the debate. A vote against would be allowing for the continuance of the debate. If the vote is successful, there will be an immediate consideration of the amendment with no further discussion.
What he said. So we're going to vote on right now to end the debate. So a yes vote is to end the debate on this. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no. Motion passes. End the debate.
Okay. So now the clerk will call the roll on the Lattiser amendment to change 18101, $8,030 and move it to the rainy day fund. A yes vote is in support of the Lattiser amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
2 yes, 7 no. Amendment fails.
Amendment fails. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, my next motion or amendment will be regarding line item 13-101, job code 021. All for the same reasons, in excess of the 2.75% contractual requirements. The motion, sorry. To reduce line item 13-101 by $12,215.
$12,215 and move to the general fund?
Yes.
Okay, do we have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
So the salary was $42,020, 2.75% increase brings it to $43,176. The proposed budget is $55,390, taking down the, should be, according to the contractual requirement, $43,000 leaves the amount that I'm looking to reduce, which is $12,215. I would also add too that as I recall when I spoke about this Monday evening, Director Prodra had stated that there was the possibility that there was an error in that line item, and I have not received any updates on that as to whether there was an error in there or not. So with that said, that's my motion.
Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, could you tell us the page in the code again, please?
I believe it's page 12, 15101.
13101.
13101, oh, yes. 13101 reduced by $12,215 to move to the general fund.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Administration, do you have any thoughts or comments on this?
Yes, because it was put out there by the Councilman Lattiser Fan Club, this is my daughter. She was inadvertently given a longevity raise, which she's not entitled to. She was never going to get it. Personnel saw her length of service to the city, which is close to 7 years or whatever it is, but she had worked in a non-union position before that. Therefore, she was not entitled to it. The mistake was found. The city clerk had listed it correctly. Most directors don't know when their employees are getting raises. Lynn submitted it, the budget to me. Personnel corrected it. They thought they were doing it correctly. But she's kind of an outlier because we don't have that many to come out of the union. The animal shelter is a full-time job within non-union positions. So you can take it away. You can put it in the general fund. You can leave it there because all these personal line items you see is not what you're going to see at the end of the year. People move in and out of these jobs. It changes frequently. They qualify for, we don't know. So there could be somebody in there with longevity. They leave. Somebody comes in that does not have longevity. This is a different step. So you can, you know, there's a little bit of money, you can move it, but it's going to be used somewhere else. My suggestion would be to leave it in there because Lynn's staff is going to change and anyone can do a public records request every 2 weeks to see if my daughter got a raise or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Any questions or comments that from individuals that haven't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Ricks.
I think that the mayor makes a good point here. The staff, it moves in and out. I think that as a general matter, we should make sure that the budget is transparent and best reflecting what those salaries are at the present time, what we expect any changes in the salaries to be coming up throughout the year. But here, we would just be moving the money on paper. And really, we don't know if those salaries are going to come in $10,000 more or $10,000 less for things that have nothing to do with what we're doing here tonight. And then simply shifting the money to the general fund on paper is not really going to accomplish, in my opinion, an intended goal with the objectives that we're trying to reach. I will, of course, second Councilman Lattiser's motions, as I think that it is good to have transparency and it is good to have debate here at the budget hearings. That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the Lattiser amendment? Councilman Sinapi.
If I recall correctly from the debate on Monday, or rather from the presentations on Monday and the questions, this is no different than a number of other departments. The fact that the mayor's daughter happens to be in this one isn't determinative for me. And so it doesn't really change the fact that it's the same situation as elsewhere. We're not moving to change it elsewhere. I don't see any reason to single someone out because of their familial relationship. So I'd call the question.
Is there any other questions or comments on this? Hearing none, then we can just call the vote. So favorable action on yes vote will be for favorable action on 13101, reducing it by $12,215 and moving to the general fund. This is a Lattiser amendment. So a yes vote is to support the Lattiser amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
One yes, eight no. Amendment fails.
Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, I'm done. Obviously, there's no sense in moving anything additional. Thank you.
Thank you. I have two amendments to make, to propose, and I will be looking for someone to move and second those for me. This is on behalf of the administration, and it would be to move from line item 18400, which is the finance contingency, $15,000, and then to move that $15,000 to 47799, which is the senior center Miss Capital line item. And moved by Councilman McElroy, second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Howe. Mayor Pocosi.
It's very simple. The $15,000 that we took out of that missing part of their revenue budget. That wouldn't be in their budget, and they have a very tight budget there. So I just want to replenish that. So the senior citizen, they probably use that for functions and things like that. So I just want to make sure they're not short. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions on this amendment? We'll call it the Pocosi Amendment. Okay. Seeing no questions, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action to move from $18,415,000 to $47,799 Senior Center, Ms. Capital. A yes vote is in favor of the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes. He said yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, and it passes.
Thank you. And I would also like to propose one more additional change. I would like to decrease 16,360 professional services under for the legislative department, $693.51, and put it into line item 16,101 salaries within the legislative department. So I need to get a motion and a second. So motion by Councilman Ricks, second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Howe, Councilman Sinapi. Any questions or comments on this proposed amendment? Councilman Ricks.
Well deserved. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action to move 16,360 to 16,101 in the amount of $693.51. Yes.
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 Thank you. Are there any additional, any additional amendments to be made at this time for people who haven't had a chance to make amendments? Okay, we have two more. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not quite sure of the budget code because I don't know exactly where it is, but what I'm looking to do is to make a motion to not transfer that $2 million from the pension line item to the OPEB trust.
Okay, we just need to locate the numbers to make the amendment. And then we'll get a second, then discussion.
No, I'm not looking to take the money out of the fire department. There was conversations here Monday that was going to take $2 million out of the pension fund, I believe it was police one, fire one, and move it to the OPEB trust. And maybe Peter could, you know, enlighten us on that. But that's what my intention is to stop that transfer from happening.
No, there's no proposal here to transfer any money from pension funds to anywhere else. You can't do that. It's a trust.
Okay.
There's a proposal to take $1.2 million from our medical insurance reserves. And every year, our insurer, whether it was WB or Rhode Island Dental Local or whoever, calculates what we paid them versus the claims. And especially during the pandemic, we built up some reserves from both active employees and retirees, about half and half. So there's proposals in here, one to use $1.2 million of it to offset health insurance costs for active employees this coming year, and there's a proposal to use move 2 million of it into the OPEB trust along with the 1 million that's been appropriated, 1,060,000. So there's nothing coming from a pension plan that's held in trust. That's not what's proposed here. It's reserves that have been built up from claims.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I stand corrected. As I stated in the beginning, I wasn't sure, couldn't remember which one. But having said that, I still object to taking the monies from the healthcare plan and moving it into OPEB. And a perfect example is how this changes.
We got to get a motion and a second first.
But we
got to know the line item, so we can't just... We got to know where it's coming from and where you would like to put it.
So if I may ask Director Schaefer, which line item would the 2 million in healthcare monies be coming from to shift into OPEB? Because I don't see it here.
You know, it's part of the mayor's message. We've never recorded, and we can go to the audit report and you'll see the $8.6 million in the audit report that's built up over a number of years. But it's not an appropriation account. I've talked to our audit firm and she didn't believe that there's any problem with doing it by management representation, that you have a funding plan, and whether it's offsetting current year health insurance, which we're doing, or we're using it to meet an accounting standard for our OPEB trust, there is no appropriation line item that I can refer you to. It's management's representation in the mayor's budget message. You could speak to that, reversing the mayor's representation in his budget message. But we've never appropriated to the reserve.
Okay, so that would...
I suppose if you wanted to make a motion, you could make it to move it to fund balance rather than to the OPEB trust. Because ultimately, if we never use it, it will go to fund balance.
I don't think we can do that either, Peter.
So to do that, to move 2 million from one area into OPEB, that does not require council approval. I'm asking the solicitor.
I would just make one comment that they're both health insurance associated. It's not for another purpose. It happens to be for strictly for retirees if it goes into the OPEB trust, and it's strictly for active employees if it goes into our offsetting our health insurance costs. But
Director, I understand what you're saying. I'm not disputing that. My concern with doing this.
My concern is we need to be able to make a motion and have a second. We can't have an open debate on this at this time. There's going to be ordinances and stuff like that. So we need to have a line item that we were going to move that you're proposing to move into another line item or to increase, decrease. We need to have a motion and a second. Am I correct, Solicitor Walsh?
It appears some of the conversation you're looking to have is on a docketed matter that will potentially be before the council in one of the upcoming meetings. And I think it's more germane to that discussion because the money can't flow without certain authorities granted in that way. So it would be moot at this time, or it'd be premature at this time to have that discussion.
So to the council president's point, there is no line item that I can identify to take from or move to. Now, with that said, so I'm clear, Mr. Solicitor, on what you just said. In order for that transfer or any transfer like that to take place that would have to come before the city council for approval?
There's been docketed a matter, an item to change the ordinances relative to how those contributions flow to Fire One, Police One, or whether they can be redirected.
But Director Schaefer said that it would be coming from the healthcare item. My question is that something that is required to come before the city council or not? If it's not, then we can end the conversation. There is no line item for me to speak to.
Defer to the treasurer.
Councilman Lattiser, the $2 million from the $2 million that we can take from our previous healthcare reserve is disclosed in the budget message. It is a reserved, restricted fund in our financial statements, and we have the approval of the audit firm in order to use this to fund OPEB. Before you in Department 85 is a $1 million budget from the general fund to go to OPEB Trust, and you can vote on that at the moment. That is page
85196 is OPEB Trust funding.
Page 54, line 85196. This $1 million is the reallocation per our actuaries to move what we use to fund Police and Fire One into an OPEB trust without affecting the bottom line of Police and Fire One.
Okay, so Mr. President, obviously this discussion is a moot point on the $2 million. So I'll withdraw that, and I would like to make a new motion. That motion would be to reject the transfer from 85196 of $1,060,000, so I'm sorry, $1,060,322 to the OPEB trust. I think that, as I said earlier, that's the motion.
Okay, second by Councilman Rex. Mayor Picozzi?
I spoke about this earlier. That money's there. It has to currently, under current ordinance, go into the pension fund. We can't put it in the OPEB trust fund without an act of this council. So that has to come here in the future. We can't make the money disappear. It's there. Currently, under ordinance, we have to put it in Police Fire One now. Our intention is to come to you in the future, at a future meeting, and ask you to amend that ordinance to allow us to put it in the OPEB fund. So it can't be done. There can't be no actions of council on it tonight. It's a change of ordinance, but it's in the budget. It has to stay there. Currently, as I said, it has to go to police pension one, police fire one.
So I'm looking in the general fund here. Isn't line 85196 being reduced by $1,060,322 in going over to OPEB?
Peterson.
That's correct. That's the budget proposal.
Okay. That was my motion, Mr. President, is to reverse that, to leave the $1,060,322 in line item 85196.
$85,196 is the OPEB trust fund.
No, I'm sorry, to reverse it back into Fire One, Fire Two.
Which is 85172 and 85173. 174, 85, 176. Yep. Fire two.
I believe what we're talking about is 85, 174. I understand. Not the police two and fire two plans are not affected by this one way or the other. So.
Page 54 is what we're discussing. So, Councilman, you want to move 85, 196 to 85, 174?
Right. Yes, correct. Exactly. Returning the money from 85, 196 back up to 85, 174.
Okay. Councilman Sinapi.
Just to clarify with the administration, is this the same thing as what the mayor literally just said as far as we can't do because of the ordinance?
Yeah, we're not going to make the transaction until the ordinance has been considered and acted on by the council. But we need to have the money in the right places in order to do it. That's the bottom line.
All right. I call the question.
All right. Any other additional questions or comments? Okay, it has been moved and second. A yes vote is for favorable action on the Lattiser amendment of moving 85,196 of 1,060,322 to 85,174. A yes vote is in support of the Lattiser amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr.
Gifford? No.
Mr.
Lattiser?
Yes.
No.
Mr.
No.
Mr.
No.
Mr. Pratt?
No.
One yes, eight no.
Are there any or more amendments the council members would like to make on the budget this evening? Councilman Ricks.
I would propose to raise the residential tax by 14 cents, which would be slightly less than 1%. So that would be an increase from $14.76 per thousand to $14.90 per thousand, with the corresponding increases to the other rates that are based on the residential rate.
Okay, do we have a second to that motion?
A second for purposes of discussion would be appreciated.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Gephardt. And Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I know that this is going to go over like a wet blanket. I've had a couple of motions like this the last couple of years. We have the same council composition. And I know that raising taxes is never going to be popular. The reason that I propose this is partly to be consistent here. We are looking at a pretty massive structural deficit of a fund, of a drawdown of $7.1 million from the fund balance. That alone would take over a 3% tax increase to get rid of that structural deficit on paper alone. But also factor in that we're counting on $2.5 million from sale of city property. We can't sell real estate more than once. Well, we could, but we wouldn't get away with it for very long. So that right there, if you figure that that city real estate isn't going to be coming back, it's again, one time. Now we're up well over $9 million, approaching $10 million as a structural deficit from that perspective. We are also funding paving from the operating budget in the amount of $80,000, which is my understanding, more or less covers the patching of potholes. That's not going to pave much more than a tenth of a mile of road. Thankfully, funding for paving is happening this coming fiscal year through $3 million of ARPA funding, but again, that's not repeating. So if we want to fund paving to the tune of $3 million in future years, we would have to raise taxes or find other places in the budget to do that. In a lot of ways, this is a lean budget. I should also add that there are other areas where ARPA funding is effectively being used for areas that we would normally be funding out of the operating budget. Vehicles, for instance. Now, some of these costs could certainly be delayed, potentially, if the ARPA funds weren't there, but some of them reasonably couldn't. I think that a lot of these uses of the ARPA funds are absolutely good uses, and I would applaud the administration for its wisdom in properly applying these funds. But with 0% tax increases for the last 4 out of 5 years, accompanied by relatively small short-term changes to save money here and there, I'm not saying that there haven't been significant changes, but it really is swimming against a tide when we're seeing the costs rise by so much. Part of that is inflation that everyone is experiencing. Part of it is salary increases under contracts that were previously negotiated. Part of it is particular increases like health insurance, inflation, etc. It's trying to turn around a ship, and it's going to take a long time to get there. But beyond a massive structural deficit that, unless we do something about it, it's just going to keep widening, we also have other large costs on the horizon. If we want to build these new schools, and I, for one, support the will of the voters on that, that is also going to be costing some money in future budgets. And if we have such a massive structural deficit now, I don't hold out all that much hope that unless we are raising taxes to tackle these short-term to medium-term financial issues, as well as, of course, throughout the year, outside of this budget hearing, taking the necessary steps to address the spending side issues, it really does have to be a combination. It's too big a problem to have one solution. We're going to need many, many solutions here. And I think that as a matter of balancing the budget, I just look at that massive fund balance drawdown. I think it's probably the biggest I've seen in a proposed budget in the 7 years that I've been on the council. I may be mistaken, but it is a very large number. I feel like it's the most responsible thing to do. As much as I hate to raise taxes, I think that it would be the most responsible thing to do to increase taxes by another slightly under 1% in order to try to bring down that fund balance drawdown, bring down that structural deficit. Thank you. I yield the floor.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on this? Councilman Foley. Councilman has made a motion to call the question. It's ridiculous. Do we have a second to call the question? Second by Councilman McElroy. So we're going to take a vote right now. Roll call vote to end debate on this. A yes vote is to end the debate. A no vote is to continue debate. The clerk will call the roll.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mr.
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no.
Okay, Councilman Ricks has made a motion. It has been seconded. So the amendment we are going to have a roll call vote on right now is to raise the residential tax rate from $14.76 to $14.90. A yes vote is to support Councilman Ricks's amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
Two yes, seven no. Amendment fails.
Thank you. Anyone else hasn't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Foley.
I make a motion on favorable action on PCR 57-23.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy. Any questions or comments on this time on PCR 57-23? Any questions or comments? Councilman Sinapi.
This is just to verify, we're voting favorable action potentially as amended, right?
Yes, right. As amendment. This is the budget vote. The budget as amended. Any additional questions or comments on the budget, Councilman Sinapi? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I just want to confirm what we are voting on now will be for the yay or nay on the amended budget as proposed. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no more, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as the amended of PCR 57-23.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Seven yes, two no. Motion passes as amended.
Okay. Okay. That was the budget vote. Okay. I need a motion to adjourn. Motion by Councilman Howe, second by Councilman Foley. All in favor say aye.
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 Very briefly.
We are adjourned.
Is there a separate motion to set the tax rate? I thought that we did that in previous years.
Yeah, there's been amendments, right?
The vote was on the entirety of the budget and the setting of the tax rate, the PCR that was amended by all the prior amendments.
So where there were amendments to the budget, doesn't that mean that there has to be changes in the tax rate?
No, they were all balanced.
It was all balanced?
The three items that were presented were balanced, so there was no adjustment to the rate.
Okay.